trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
All right. One more time here. On Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the so-called, as many call it, the birth of the church. Going to look one more time. And part of why it's important to spend a number of weeks on this is I really feel like God is equipping us as a church family and building a culture. Building a culture of how he's shaping us and growing us as a church family, how we steward his Holy Spirit. And I do believe that as many prophetic words have been given and prayers have been prayed, that this year that there will be a season of abundance and increase and salvations in our church family and in the influence that we get to have in the city. And part of the preparation process for that is how do we steward the Holy Spirit as a church family? And so this is the fourth week in a row that we're talking about the Holy Spirit and that gift that was poured out upon the church at Pentecost. And that's 4 weeks. That's a lot. But I believe that this is a key season for us in learning to be prepared to steward wisely and well the greater things to come. So this all starts in the book of Acts where Jesus says in verse 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's where this great promise is first heard post-resurrection, where Jesus says, hey, I'm giving a gift of my Holy Spirit to be in you, with you, upon you. And I want to focus in as we begin today in the purpose for which that gift is given. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that has not changed. The reason the Holy Spirit is poured out and comes upon God's people, and that's part of how we can check a true move of the Holy Spirit of God among us and in us and upon us, very simply, in a nutshell, will be one that empowers us to be and do like Jesus. That's what Jesus said is the purpose, to be my representatives to the world. It's that supernatural power. So we're not left alone as orphans to live life on our own strength, but a true supernatural power comes upon us to be and do like Jesus out into the whole world. You will be my witnesses, my representatives. Going back a little bit in John 20:21, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, now I'm going to send you. That's crazy. Think about that. As the Father sent me with the mission to advance the kingdom of God, now I'm adding that in, but that's a nutshell of what Jesus said he was about. The kingdom of God is at hand. Time has come. So there's his mission in a nutshell to advance the kingdom of God. As the Father sent me, now I am sending you. There it is. It's the same mission. We get to go represent Jesus. And the only hope for that is more of the Holy Spirit upon us, so that we can be and do like Jesus. And in this little mini series here, we've been looking at God's Word. And what I see in it is the early church has this humble hunger for more of the Spirit. No matter how much they've experienced of the Holy Spirit, there's a hunger for more. And that's instructive to us. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Even Peter and John, we've looked at Acts 4 and quickly reviewing that. It's amazing. They were the ones who were filled up with the Holy Spirit back at Pentecost. baptized in the Holy Spirit, that fulfilled promise of the Holy Spirit coming upon them to go be and do like Jesus out into the world. And yet, not a short time later, they're gathered again with fellow believers, and they're praying in Acts 4, grant to your servants to continue to speak with all boldness, and you stretch out your hand, God, to heal with signs and wonders performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And at first it's like, wait a minute, I thought they were already filled. Yes, they were already filled, and then they're hungry to continue to be filled more. It's that move of from one degree of glory to another. No matter how much you've been filled, there's always more. And sometimes I think there's a, man, my tank is empty, and I need to be filled. I need to be refreshed. And there's that aspect too. But it's not only that. It's you can be filled, but there's still more to fill you up, as the Ephesians says, into the fullness of Christ. When you are exactly like Jesus, okay, then maybe stop praying to be filled. But until that day, keep praying. That's what Peter and John, some of the most powerful people the world has ever seen, that's their posture. That's good enough for me. And it flows well with John 3:34, where Jesus says his heart is to give the Spirit without measure. He doesn't want to put a cap on it. That's an awesome thing. And out of that, and we'll show it one more time, there's a remembrance tool that I think is really good. It was not invented by me. It was given by a mentor, Mike Breen, published in the book, A Little Physics Formula, that he thinks, and I agree, captures one of God's truths about what does it look like for the supernatural power of God to be manifest in our life. And so we got this P equals V squared over R. Power, or P is for power, the supernatural power of God that's being outputted in from our life. And V is the voltage of the Holy Spirit. That is where Jesus says that God loves, he loves to give the Spirit without measure. That's the voltage of the Holy Spirit. It's available without measure. And then we get to play our part of R, which is resistance. In other words, the amount of Holy Spirit supernatural power that's being output in our life is that without measure gift from God divided by the amount of resistance in our life. And the more resistance we had, and we've looked at these scriptures that talk about don't resist the Holy Spirit, don't quench the Holy Spirit, don't neglect the Holy Spirit. All of those can be various ways where intentionally or unintentionally, we in our hearts have resistance to the Holy Spirit. We are dividing, if you will, we're cutting down the amount of power that is going to be put out through our lives. And so part of our job in life, in relationship with God, is to develop this posture as an individual and as a church culture that says, God, I am hungry for more of you, and God, I am willing and hungry for you to take me to places with the Holy Spirit that are new, that I don't yet know, where you fill me up more and I experience more of you that I haven't yet experienced. Otherwise, if we don't have that posture, we've got God in a box. And I think putting God in a box is resistance. Here, God, here's where you're allowed to move. That's pretty strong resistance. But all of us have that in various ways. And so this is not a condemning thing at all. It's a challenging thing of God's word is inviting us to cultivate a posture, to grow a posture, and even at times say, God, help me with this posture. I don't like this posture. I'm uncomfortable with this posture. And that's okay, but that's the process of learning and growing, dying to self, becoming more like Jesus, Jesus never resisted the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's that perfect lack of resistance where he's listening all the time. He's looking. He's spiritually being aware. What is the Father doing right now? How can I jump right on board, right in line with that? He's being a model for us. No resistance. Agreement. A pure vessel, willing, able, hungry for whatever God wants to do. So along those lines, there's another piece that I want to encourage us about today. That not only do we want to develop a posture that says, I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit, I'm willing and even hungry for the Lord to take me to new places with the Holy Spirit, but even more specifically, I'm going to be intentional, we're going to be intentional to make space for the Holy Spirit to do something. And what I mean by that is we move it out of the theoretical of, yeah, I think my heart's postured to where I'm open for it, and maybe my heart's even postured to where I'm hungry for it, but an even more intentional step where we're saying, Lord, show me how in my part, individually, as a family, as a church family, I can be intentional to actually make space for the Holy Spirit to move. Back to Acts 4. We'll just give that as an example. That is, in my opinion, a great, healthy example of they made space for the Holy Spirit to move. They prayed, even though the Holy Spirit had already shown up, filled them up. They were hungry for more, and so when they gathered for prayer, gathered together as believers, they were intentional to make space to pray and say, Holy Spirit, move again, move afresh, fill us up afresh. If they hadn't had intentionally made space for that, lived out that hunger in a tangible way, I don't think we get that story of the Holy Spirit responded and the building was shaken and they were freshly filled up. Does that happen if they don't pray that prayer? I don't think so. And yes, he's always with us. Jesus said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So we got to be careful there. Jesus said that there will be a spring of living water that flows up out of us. So there is that reality. This is one of those interesting just tensions in Scripture of how to live that out. That it's not like Jesus and the Holy Spirit had forsaken these disciples who prayed this. No. He's still with them. He's still upon them. He's never leaving them or forsaken them. Yet, what we see in them, it's a model for us, is that posture that says, yet because there's more, and I can be filled more, we're going to be intentional on our part to create space for that, to make room for that, to hunger for that in a tangible way that says, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, would you move afresh? Holy Spirit, move right now. And that's important. It's powerful. It's an important piece of us living out that decreasing resistance. And we'll see it in a couple other scriptures. Check this one out. 1 Corinthians 14:1. As Paul is kind of, in a sense, closing a three-chapter teaching to this local church at Corinth about spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit manifesting in powerful ways in a local body. And he finishes, or comes close to finishing, with this. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love. So everything to be done with love, that famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, that if you're not motivated by love and doing it for love and living out of place of love, then spiritual gifts are, you know, a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal, and it's essentially worthless, he says. Strong language. So it's all to be done in and through love. So follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Other translations say earnestly pursue and desire Those are actions on our part. That's kind of the question. Are we making room for the Holy Spirit? Are we earnestly desiring His gifts? Are we pursuing them? Are we making the space in our life where we're not just open to it, but we're pursuing it? Earnestly. That's a big word. Doesn't just say, be open to it. God might do it. You never know. Passionately pursue gifts of the Spirit. As I was thinking about this, I'm like, how could I remember this? I feel like maybe a little phrase. Here we go. If you don't make room for the Spirit, you probably won't have the boom of the Spirit. If you don't make room for the Spirit, you probably won't have the boom of the Spirit. It's true. This is what He's telling us. It's not just going to magically happen. You make space to learn to pursue it. It's very rare that God is just going to sovereignly pour out His Spirit upon a group of people, upon a person, a family, a church that's uninterested, unwilling, undesiring, and then all of a sudden, wham, they're manifesting gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're operating powerfully in the Spirit, they look a lot like Jesus and the book of Acts. Very rare. Our engagement in the process is critical because it's relationship. As people like to say, God's a gentleman. Or as I like to look at Revelation 3, where Jesus is talking to the church, and He says, daily, I'm knocking at the door, and those who open it, I will come in and be with them, meet with them. That's an invitation to believers. You already believe Jesus. So, Jesus, aren't you already in my house because I believe in you, and you're saying you're knocking at the door? Yes and yes. It's not like Jesus isn't in the house, but Jesus' own image is daily. I'm knocking. Are you opening it? That's part of our engagement on a relational level. Earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Are we making room intentionally? Say, I'm going to make space for this. And it can be as simple as an individual, as we're going throughout our day, we pause, slow down, and just give a little bit of space where we're consciously making room for the Holy Spirit boom, where we're like, okay, I'm going into a situation where I know I need you. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, would you be with me? And the prayers can go from there. Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to say to me? Holy Spirit, what are you doing in this moment? Like Jesus, where He was only doing what He saw the Father doing. Holy Spirit, can you show me how I can be a part of what you're doing? I mean, every single one of us is capable to do that on our own, and it's just the slowing down. It's not that Jesus isn't already with us, but this is the model we see. Where it's Jesus' own model. I only do what I see the Father doing. Well, that takes engagement. That takes conscious awareness. That takes us making space for the Holy Spirit to say, I don't want to walk through my day. And then, and we all know this, right? Where we got to the end, and it was just like, man, I just kind of did that day on my own strength. And, you know, in the big picture, it's not like God forsook me and He's abandoned me. No, He's with me. But man, on my part, on my end, I really didn't let Him in. I didn't make space. I didn't cultivate from my end that open door that Jesus says is there every day, where there's something about me opening the door. And so it can be as simple as us going throughout our day trying to increase that awareness and manifestation of the Holy Spirit with us by those simple little acts where we make room for the Spirit's boom. And then can we do that as a church? That's why we, in small groups, say, let's not just pray, but let's slow down. Let's listen to the Lord. If we're praying for someone else, let's not just jump right into praying for them. It's a simple little thing of let's take a minute and let's ask, Holy Spirit, do you want to say something? Holy Spirit, do you want to give me a picture, a word, a vision? Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now in their life and how can I be a part of it? These simple little ways to create space, if you will, for the Holy Spirit, where we're opening that door to say, I don't want to do this on my own strength. And to be clear on that, we're not the one that makes the Holy Spirit come. But what we can see is we can make space for the Holy Spirit to come. We know from Jesus, the Holy Spirit already wants to come. He wants to give us the Spirit without measure. And I kind of see this picture, some type of like in my head, just to understand this, it's kind of like that cartoon of some like happy little puppy, if you will, that is kind of like being restrained right now and just kind of wants to come and like, you know, get all over you in a good way or something, you know, kind of trying to bust open that door. The Holy Spirit already wants to come. We don't have to convince the Holy Spirit to want to be present in our lives. We don't have to convince him to try to, you know, to come and speak to us or to come and heal somebody. We don't have to convince him. Jesus says he loves to give the Spirit without measure. So we don't make the Holy Spirit come. But what we do is we make space for the Holy Spirit to come. We open the door, as Jesus said, as he knocks. Because what's the opposite? Keep the door closed, and in some way, Jesus remains on the outside of your day. That's the picture that Jesus is painting. I stand at the door and knock. Believers, when you open the door, I come in and be with you. That's a daily thing. So the converse is, are we making space throughout the day to open the door, or are we keeping the door closed and in some measure keeping Jesus on the outside, keeping the Holy Spirit at bay? See, he wants to come. It's just, we don't make him come. He's already there. It's just open the door, give the space for him to work. Because we can resist, we can neglect, we can quench. But I love it. All he needs is a yes. His goodness is so overwhelming. He's already pursuing. He's already knocking. He's already here. He's already desiring to give without measure. And it's just yes. Unleash. Welcome. I love. That's all our job. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way. So that's a challenge. It's a healthy challenge for us. Are we individually and corporately intentionally growing in making space for the Holy Spirit to move? And how do you know? Well, are you being transformed so that there's a supernatural power in your life empowering you to be and do more like Jesus? Because that's the goal. So there's that healthy man. Yes, God's doing cool things that are surprising me and it's fun. It's above and beyond what I asked or imagine. Or nope, just the same old Christianity. Well, Christianity is not supposed to be same old, same old. We are privileged. Oh my God, privileged to be the sons and daughters of God, where our destiny on earth is to get transformed to be more like Jesus from one degree of glory to another, where we are truly living a supernatural life where increasingly we get to be and do like Jesus. And our little part is today, open the door. Yes, Jesus. It's cool. Let's take us to another important passage on this stuff. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. So Paul's talking again. This is just a local church, a gathering of believers. And they're trying to figure out how to live in this new gift of the Holy Spirit upon them. And this whole passage, if nothing else, what it shows us is the intentionality as followers of Christ, as God's kids with the Holy Spirit now in us, upon us, among us. There's a responsibility we have on our part to now steward this well, to make space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do, to be intentional about that. So he goes in verse 1. Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Here's probably my favorite and key verse, verse 7. Now to each one, everyone, each one of you, there's no superstar elite in God's kingdom. To each one in the body of Christ, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And check this out. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So there's obviously a ton in that passage, and you could break it down, and you could look at each gift and all how that all comes together. But what we want to focus on this morning is just looking at how Paul, in the big picture, is helping them to learn, to steward, to make space, to expect that the Holy Spirit is going to move. And so therefore, in our hearts, how are we doing that as a group of people looking forward to him, moving in a way, manifesting in a way where these different gifts are going to emerge and bless one another. They're for the common good. They're for the building up of the body so we can be more like Jesus and then go represent Jesus to the world. It's the same theme. But all of it is simply saying, are we creating space for the Spirit to do that? There's a word in here that's a beautiful one. In verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now that word manifestation, it means to appear or to reveal, to shine. So, and how is this happening? Last verse says, all of these are the work of one Spirit as he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So this is the Holy Spirit. This is God through the Holy Spirit giving out these gifts to each person as he decides to reveal or to shine more of God. To reveal more of God so that God appears, if you will, so that God shows up in the brothers and sisters. And I love that, that this word manifestation, actually, it has its, for the English word, it has its root in Latin that mean dancing hand. And that's so cool. And it fits that the Holy Spirit wants to dance among us and show up in ways that through the gifts reveal more of God. And that dancing hand thing is affirmed right at the end where it says this one Spirit distributes them to each just as he determines. See that? He's giving them out in whatever way he wants to. That's a dancing hand. I love it. And what's also good to notice is this is not a once and for all time thing. This is saying when the body of Christ gathers, the Holy Spirit wants to show up and dance around and show up through different people in different ways to reveal more of God. It's awesome. It's so cool. And the challenge that he's giving to this church is, are you creating space for that? Are you allowing and expecting that God's Holy Spirit when you gather in the name of Jesus, he wants to show up and show off, if you will, dance around among you to reveal more of God. And he gives some specifics of the different ways that that happens, but this isn't an exhaustive list, because every time Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he gives a different list. And so the point is not about, here's the box we're going to put God in now. It's about our hearts, that when we gather, we're excited that the dancing hand of God, the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit, loves to have fun among us and show up through us in different ways so that God is revealed. And that we all, through that, the common good is that we're grown to be more like Jesus. And in all of that, the challenge comes back. Are we creating space for the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit to do something? If we're not creating that space, then we're living in resistance. Maybe it's unintentional. But that means in some way we've got God in this little box. Because what we see here is a clear example of, and Paul goes on to say it a chapter later, so earnestly desire these spiritual gifts. Pursue them. Passionately pursue them. So that's that. We are going to, as a culture, growing a culture, we're going to pause, whether it's individually or collectively, we're going to say, God, we welcome the dancing hand of your Holy Spirit to move among us, to show more of who you are, so that we get built up to be like Jesus, and that we can take that out into the world. Okay, bye-bye. I guess we'll be done. Man, these things just keep growing. I don't know. Maybe we'll be back for more. I don't know. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans. We thank you that there is a true supernatural power available through the Holy Spirit, so that ultimately we can be and do like Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us a gift of faith right now, in this moment, to believe that that's actually real. And that that's not just a crazy idea, oh, that our lives could look more like Jesus. Our lives could look actually like Jesus. We could do, be and do like Jesus in the world. I know for some of us, as we hear that, that's like, no, okay, that's a nice message, but that's not, there's no way that's real. Lord, I pray that you would give us faith in this moment to believe that's real. But it takes a community. It's not going to happen as isolated individuals. As was just looked at in this passage, as we earnestly pursue your Holy Spirit's power and presence among us, there's a way you seem to only move in the context of community. You dance. You love to bring the dancing hand of your Spirit in a community so we can build each other up. So, Lord, we pray that you would be continuing to teach us what does that look like as a church family to be this kind of church that in a healthy way is open to the new things, open to things that we have never seen you do in our lives or maybe even in someone else's life. That we're cautious of the excess, but that hunger for you just trumps it all. Would you continue, Lord, to teach us how to make space for you, make space for the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives as individuals, and then together as a community, Lord, where we honor you and honor your word and honor what you went to the cross for, by being that people that says, yes, Lord. Dance among us, God. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We earnestly desire everything that you have for us, all the gifts that you purchased on Calvary that now you want to pass out. We don't want to leave any of those unwrapped. Would you continue to grow us, Lord, into that people that makes space for you, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance like David.